How many people brought your Bibles? Let me see. Hold all them Bibles up. I like looking at Bibles. Everybody look at these Bibles. Hold them up for a minute. Bless God. Look at the Word of God. Look at it. Hallelujah. Jesus is so wonderful and so gracious. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I got up this morning and I want to flow what I've been flowing with yesterday, dealing with that religion and power and things. But, you know, I turned on the television just for about, 30, 40 seconds and saw the American flag and kind of swelled up in me. Glory to God, because I love this nation and love this Constitution of the United States and this Declaration of Independence and just wonderful. And in my opinion, the greatest nation on the earth, most blessed, because in God we trust. So I said, Lord, can I deal with a liberty theme this morning? He said, sure, Jesse, you free. So I thought, well, that's true, I am free. So turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to minister a sermon the Lord gave me a year or two ago. I believe they ran it in our magazine once. I'm not sure. Praise the Lord. But 2 Corinthians 3, Paul the Apostle is writing to the church at Corinth. And I love this verse of scripture. And Paul is one of my heroes of the faith. And in my opinion, the greatest intellectual mind ever drawn to the rim of Christianity was the Apostle Paul. Yet, the Lord had to knock that crutch out from under him, because you hear him saying, I didn't come here with excellency of speech, which the boy could excellently speak. He said, I was with you in much fear and trembling. Now, I understand that statement, because you see that piano? You see those instruments? When I first went into the ministry, that was my crutch. In other words, I figured I couldn't talk much or preach much. But you really didn't want to tell you the truth. So I'd kind of, moonwalk back, glory to God, to one of these things. And the Lord would give me a talent. And I'd use that until the Lord kicked the crutches out from under me one day. And he said, go out there and say something. And I went out there and said, something. It's about all I had. And the Lord said, as what Brother Copeland told a person last night in the Word of Knowledge, I'm not interested in your qualification, Jesse. You're not qualified. He said, there's no one on this planet qualified. Who could please me in the flesh? He pleased me by faith. Think about that. I mean, think of the greatest person. They can't even come close to pleasing God in terms of their flesh. But you can please God with that mantle of faith that he has given us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writing in verse 17, he says, now the Lord is that spirit. Now people ask me all the time, Brother Jesse, why are you so boisterous and you always happy? I said, it's that spirit. It isn't my fault if I do some things that are a bit radical. It's that spirit. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now I have been preaching, as of this preaching time, I've been in 907 different churches across America and the world. That's a lot of churches. And I'm a man full of spirit. I like calling myself wall to wall Holy Ghost. I just like it coming out when I least expect it. I love it when it embarrasses my flesh. I love it when it puts down my flesh before I have an opportunity to say, shut up, flesh. And so when people say, why'd you do that? I said, it's that spirit. That wonderful spirit. That indwelling personality called the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Woo, I enjoy being saved, but I enjoy being full. You see, on the day of Pentecost, it was a corporate filling. They were all filled, but it also was an individual filling. Each one had their tongue of fire, which made up a major flame. But think about that for a minute. Each one had their tongue of fire. You put them all together, you got a bonfire. And that light will shine brighter. But even if you by yourself, you can flame for Jesus. So now the Lord is that spirit. Glory to God. So if I'm in the middle of this message and I speak in tongue, he interrupts me, it ain't my fault. It's that spirit. Let me read that again. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now I want to deal with that word liberty on this wonderful day and the birth of America in five different facets. So get your pencil, get your pen, and write this down. Liberty written on you is Christianity, or the anointed and his anointing, in its most legible form. We'll do a little teaching this morning. Liberty written on you is Christianity in its most legible form. People see liberty. When you see somebody free, it'll make you smile. Because there's no chains, there's no bondage, they're free. Number one. Number two, liberty written on you is Christianity in its most convincing form. Not only is it legible, it's convincing. They see it and they're convinced by it. Now I'm going to go over these again, so if I'm going too fast, you can get them on the second go around. Number three, liberty written on you is Christianity in its most persuasive form. Not only is it legible, not only is it convincing, it's persuasive. It has a powerful force. It attracts people. I've had people say, I'm attracted to you. I said, I'm a persuasive person. What is it? Liberty. Number four, liberty written on you is Christianity in its most enduring form. My daughter told me, you know, Daddy, I'm 23, almost 24 years old. I've never saw you sick. I said, I tried it, Jordan. I didn't like it. And Dad, and Jody wrote me a poem when she was 12 years old, just slipped it on, put it on my desk, called Shine. Dad, you've always shined. And that's that liberty of God in its enduring form, number four. Number five, liberty written on you is Christianity in its divinest form. So notice these five words. It's legible, it's convincing, it's persuasive, it's enduring, it's divine. I love it when I see freedom flowing in somebody's life. I love it when I see freedom even outside of what we preach, when I see somebody just free. I love to watch a baby run away from its parents in a mall. That's freedom. You can see it in their eyes. And sometimes they don't know which way to go, but they can scoot away from you quick. I never forget one time I was in this bathroom. And man, I mean, I just got in there. This little girl come running and went, hi. And I heard her mama say, get, come back here. And the little girl go, no. She must have been about 2 years old or something like that. They don't care. They don't read. She was free. And she looked at me and pointed at the faucet and went, wah, wah. I thought, my God, the kid want me to give her some water? I ain't giving her no water in the bathroom. You know, finally I brought on the lady and said, thank you. One time my daughter got away from me and Kathy, ran right down the hall naked as a jaybird. Jody must have been 2 years old, less than 2 years old. And we came running after, and there Jody was. The lady had her at the front desk. Is this your baby? I said, no, that's her baby. So let's deal with these five facets on the royal law of liberty. Number one, liberty written on you is Christianity in its most legible form. Now, what did liberty do? Liberty, in its most legible form, produced the doctrine of Pentecost. Notice this. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. Know something about God. He's not quiet. I've been told all my religious life that God's quiet, but every time God comes upon the scene, he's noisy. I mean, suddenly a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Whoa! When God comes to town, the mountains are smoking red flame. Mountains are getting out of the way. People are moving. God's coming. He ain't coming tiptoeing through the tulips. Brother, he's coming with might and power. When you see the God I serve, he's not a wimp.
So liberty in that day.
Now the Lord is that spirit. What made those people speak in tongues? What made those people do all those things? Liberty. You got to understand, these were Jewish people. Tradition. Tradition. If I was a rich man. Dabba, dabba, dabba. Tradition. Liberty came into their souls and flooded their spirits. It became legible. People came running, the Bible said. Said, hey, what's that noise? God had come to town. You notice he didn't go to their church. Don't shout me down. He went right past the church to where he could be accepted into the upper room. Notice, he went where people would allow him to flow freely. Liberty written on you is Christianity in its most legible form. I love it because I'm free. People come up to me all the time. You know, I used to fly. The Lord has blessed us with a plane. Make a long story short, when I was flying commercial, people come up to me and say, there's something about you. I say, it's Jesus. They go, oh, God. Because you see, if I don't talk, I look intelligent. They think, who is that man? I was standing on the property the Lord gave us not long ago, and this kid was hitting golf balls on our property, which is right next to the driving range. So I just walked out there and said, hey, how you doing? He went, man, that's a big piece of property. This kid is 10 years old. I said, yeah, it sure is. He said, who owns that? I said, me. He said, what kind of car do you drive? You know, kids are into that stuff. Liberty written on you is Christianity in its most legible form. Liberty produced the doctrine of Pentecost. Notice what liberty did. It gives you freedom from the bondage of ceremonialism. That's a hard word for me to say. I thought, my Lord, I knew exactly what the preacher was going to do, and I knew exactly what the priest was going to do. Because, we were Christian Catholic people. I knew exactly, my God, I could have told him what to do. I knew what to say after he said what he said. It was ceremonialism. Then when my mother and father got saved, we went from a Catholic to a Baptist. Now that's culture shock. Because you go from a 30-minute service to an hour. And I thought, my God, man. I hit my daddy in the side. I said, daddy. He said, what? I said, we've been in this church an hour. I said, if we was at the other church, we'd have been here twice. Dad, we've been in here an hour. He said, I know, son. It's kind of long. And I said, yeah, it's long, Dad. Let's go back to the other church. Then my mother and father got filled with the Holy Ghost, went to a Pentecostal church, and we ain't got out yet. Glory! Liberty written on you is Christianity in its most legible form. And when Dad got this stuff, he began to change. He got out of the realm of bondage. I seen him throw down his cigarettes. He said, I ain't smoking no more. I said, boy, we're going to have a fight in the house tomorrow. But that was all changed by the liberty of the Spirit of God that set him free. Then when he spoke in tongues, when my dad got filled with the Holy Ghost, he didn't care who heard him speak in tongues. He was so excited. He'd never heard of tongues. You see, my daddy never went to church till he was 15 years old. Because my grandfather was a heathen. My grandfather didn't believe in nothing. In fact, a friend of my father's went like this. When they passed the church, if you're Catholic, you know what I'm talking about. In your days, you pass the church. And he said, what you doing? He said, I make the sign of the cross. He said, what's a cross? Cross what? Never been to church in his life. He said, Jesus. He said, who's that? Oh, get out of here, Pop. He said, I don't even know what you're talking about. So that his friend introduced him to the name of Jesus, because he wasn't saved, but he just said he was religious. Dad didn't even have a concept of what that was. Had no idea. See, we were born on the bayous of South Louisiana. You got to understand, we talk like that. I'm going to throw you something right now. Brought yourself over here. I'm going to pass myself a good time on your forehead. Now, most of y'all think that's tongue. Look, some people bowed their head and waiting for an interpretation. We talk like that. You know, we've been... Kathy don't want me to do this, but my name's on that ministry. And the board likes me more than like her. No. Just joking. Somebody laugh. Help me out here. Will you? Bless God. Help me, Jerry. Help me.
Praise God.
He said, no, you're on your own, Jack. Praise God. Anyway, we're developing our plan for the new international headquarters of our ministry overall, and we're putting roads. And so Kathy and Jody, we were in the car the other day. I see, what are we going to call this road going to the television studio? This road going to the shipping and receiving building and to the main road. And so they said, how about Heritage Lane and Jerusalem Boulevard and you know, Glory Road? I said, listen, we're Cajun people. Let's do it like this. The road to the ministry. The road to the ministry. All right. She said, no, we can't do that. I said, how about the road to the TV studio? It didn't work. Liberty written on you is Christianity's most legible form. So people see freedom. Why? Because you have been delivered from the bondage of ceremonialism. You have been delivered from pride, freedom to flow in confidence because you know your God will answer you. You know it. You're not believing it. You're like Paul, I know in whom I have believed. I've gone beyond that realm of belief and now I'm walking in the realm of knowing, glory to God, I know it. Now that's freedom. That's confidence. That's legible. God's word will come to pass. One time praying for an individual, I don't hardly ever go to the bank because I hadn't seen my check in years. I don't even know what that is. You know, Kathy handles all that. But one time she sent me to the bank and as an obedient servant, I went. She said, go put this in the bank. I said, okay. What is it? Don't look at it. You don't need to know. I said, okay. So I had an envelope. I didn't know what was in there. Glory to God. So I was standing, and I had to stand in line. I thought, boy, this bank must be successful. Got to stand in line to take my money. So I'm just standing there, and this lady said, oh, Brother Jesse, how you doing? And she was two people ahead of me, and I said, oh, hi, hello, how you doing? I didn't know her, she knew me. I watched you talk about all this kind of stuff. I said, yeah. She said, you know, Brother Duplantis, I got up today with one of the most severest headaches. Now, we're in the line. People don't say too much in the bank, you know, just. Looking for an empty teller. That's what you're doing. She says, I need prayer. And I had two people. She's two people ahead of me. So I said, excuse me. And that people went, what? I said, I'm not trying to get ahead of you. I said, stick your head over here, woman. She said, what? And I just, two people went, hey, but I'm free. I've got liberty on me. So I said, just stick your head over here. So she did this. Now people, being very polite, go, now, she didn't walk up. She just stuck her head. And I put my head, and I was going to pray loud, but I felt one was coming on. So I was going to pray major loud. And the Lord said, say one word, my name. So I went like this. Jesus! I just hollered, Jesus! And the people went, ah! And the woman goes, the guy said, what's the problem? I said, Jesus is touching her. He went, wow. And boom, fell out in the Holy Ghost. Bam, right in the line. Now this is the fun part. I acted like nothing happened. I said, she'll be out for a while. Just step over her. Now was you embarrassed? No. Liberty. Freedom, the flowing confidence. This liberty produced the doctrine of Pentecost. Free from the bondage of ceremonialism. And I love black people. And there was a black woman went, I heard her behind. She was behind me. She went, oh, loud. 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 I said, thank you, Jesus, for a sister. I thought she was going to doing that dance, you know. I like it. Freedom! Man asked me the other day, what kind of preachers you like? I said, I like this one. Get ready, 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 get ready. That's freedom. Liberty written on you is Christian. Why do you do that? It's that spirit. Now the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So notice that. It's legible. Why? Because it produced the doctrine of Pentecost. Because it gives us freedom from that bondage of ceremonialism. Freedom to flow in confidence. Knowing instead of believing. That's the royal law of liberty. You see, when I come to the throne, I don't expect God to have a stick in his hand. He has a Holy Ghost scepter. The angels are in front of me. He says, get out the way, Jesse's coming. I said, hello, Jesus. He said, hi, Jesse. Come up here, sit down with me. This is where you'll see this. Heavenly places, right here. I just sit up there and smile. Ain't nobody going to tell me to get off. Why? I'm related. I'm in the family. And that's legible to me. So I let joy flow out of me. This smile. It's just wonderful. Well, that sure beats this. So where are you going? Church. Doesn't it? Number two, if liberty written on you is Christianity's most legible form, then liberty written on you is Christianity in its most convincing form. Now, what does that convincing factor do in liberty? Gives you frankness of speech. Produces frankness of speech. Evidence of sonship is produced. Notice, when a person is free in the Lord, they're frank about what they believe in, and they're frank about what they speak. In other words, they see sickness, they say, by Jesus' stripes, they are healed. And that liberty that's legible is now becoming convincing. It gives frankness of speech. Bless God. Somebody full of the freedom of God are getting the devil's face in public. Private. Why? Free. To set at liberty them that are bound. So people sometimes don't want to talk about what they believe in. You'd be surprised how many people don't like to talk about too much of this, quote, radical stuff. But to me, that's the most interesting thing, is the radical stuff. Why? Liberty written on you is Christianity in its most convincing form. It produces frankness of speech. It also gives you evidence of sonship. In other words, and people sometimes pick that up as arrogance. That's not arrogance. That's confidence. You know that you're a son of God. You're not trying to be a son of God. You know you are. You know you're going to heaven. You know you're going to get healed. You know you're going to get blessed. So, and when the devil throws all kind of barricades and everything, you can care less because you're going to live longer than the devil. Amen. He ain't coming to my funeral. I'm going to his. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to see that boy kicked in a lake of fire. Me, Jesse. I'm going to say, wait a minute, Lord, let me slap him a couple of times.
before you kick him in. That's evidence of sonship. When you come boldly to the throne of grace, people that don't realize that they're a son, you're not the son of God, but you are a son. See, when people don't realize that, they think, who do you think you are? See, most people walk into God's throne like this. Oh, God, don't kill me, Lord. Oh, Jesus, you mad today? But somebody that has liberty in a convincing form walks and they go, hey, Jesus! Hey! And people go, how could they say that? Fall on your face, you dog. No. This is not 16th century England. This ain't Braveheart. This ain't Forrest Gump neither. That's what most Christians believe. They believe in that Gump theology. Life's like a box of chocolates. Never know what you're going to get. That's a lot of Christian mentality. I wish I had a pair of shoes like that. Isn't that amazing? If you understand the scripture, you know what you're going to get. And it'll only come through liberty. So it gives that convincing form and produces that frankness of speech and gives evidence of sonship. Now, when that happens, theological, homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical people who read the word sonship but don't accept it go, I'll tell you what, brother, I think that it's stepping over the boundary line of respect when it comes to God. Man, if you say God like that, you don't know God. You don't know God. You should say the Lord. If you say the Lord, you've been to that Shambox school. The Lord. And when Brother Copeland stands up, bless God, and them eyebrows come down, and them eyes start piercing through, and he said, "That if you don't like, don't write me no ugly letter, bless God, because I ain't going to even read it or much less answer it." People think, how could he say such a thing? Sonship. Why is he so frank? Liberty. See, it's legible in him. It's convincing in him. It produces that sonship. It makes frankness of speech flow in your spirit. So instead of going by what you see, you go by what the Word of God says. Not by what the Word of God reads. You need to get out of the realm of Logos and start walking in the realm of Rhema. Where it is spoken. No way. See, I said this yesterday, I say it again. The Lord spoke this to me in prayer. He said, for 1900 years, I gave them other generations that Logos. But Jesse, your generation has the Rhema. Now speak, because the Word of God has a voice. So frankness of speech is produced. Some people say, I guess you believe in healing. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't make no qualms about that. I don't try to argue. What I don't, I said, it's your fault. I just tell people, I said, I don't believe in healing. I said, well, enjoy your sickness. You think I'm arrogant. But bless God, I don't believe in prosperity. Well, enjoy poverty. I've never had a homeless person come up to me and go, oh, Jesus, but I'm so glad I don't have a house. It's so wonderful to be poor. Yeah. I haven't heard that. They've always come up to me and said, you got a couple of bucks? Could you help me out? Can you buy me a sandwich? Can you buy me a salad or something? Whatever. Huh? You know, I haven't seen people going, I love poverty. Yet I've heard the church will say, take a vow of poverty. You take a vow of poverty. I ain't taking no vow of poverty. You want me to covenant with a curse. Poverty's a curse. Yet people are taking vows. They covenant with a curse. My Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. But you know why some people are not prospering? Because they don't understand healing. You know why some people don't understand healing? Because they don't understand prosperity. Do you know God connected two of those things in that same verse? Beloved. He didn't say scumbag, piece of trash, old dog head. No, he put you in the family. Beloved, I wish. This God talking, not John the Revelator. Not John writing to Gaius. God has arrested his pen. John starts out writing to Gaius, winds up writing to me, and God says, Jesse, I wish above all, or pray in all respects, watch this, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Prosperity and health. You can't enjoy one without the other. You can't enjoy health without prosperity. You ain't got no money. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't doing nothing. You can't enjoy prosperity without health. I don't care how much money you got. If you're sick as a dog, you ain't enjoying it. One of the richest men in America was Sam Walton. $20 billion. Now that man could do anything he want. Yet cancer was ravaging his body. He didn't say, boy, I'm having fun. No. See, they interlink. You can't enjoy one without the other. So maybe the reason why some people are not prosperous because they don't understand healing. Maybe the reason why some people are not healed because they don't understand prosperity. But that's another message. For further tapes by Jesse Norman. Liberty written on you is Christianity's most convincing form, legible form. Now, number three. Liberty written on you is Christianity in its most persuasive form. Now, watch this. Persuasive. Listen to the statement the Lord gave me. One life touched by Jesus has far more convincing power than any book written about him. You remember what I said yesterday? All books written about him are fossilized human thoughts, frozen on a page. But the Bible is living because it's not written, it is speaking. See, it has a voice. Now, if you're a minister, you must be all mind in your study when you're reaching out to the Word of God. But when you get to that pulpit, you better be all voice. Because faith cometh by hearing. It's like one lady, I said this, God brings it back to my mind. I had a lady said, you don't look like you ever had much trouble. Well, I've had a lot of trouble, and I don't try to hide it, don't misunderstand me. But to me, it just takes more wind and breath to talk about it. And like I said yesterday, the devil cometh and I goeth, and we've missed each other quite a bit. He cometh seeking. The devil can't kill me like the church world told me he could anytime he felt like. That's a bunch of junk. That's a lie from hell. Because the Bible said he seeketh whom he may devour. Seeketh. He's looking. He's looking at the herd of Christians, looking for weak, lame, despondent. He ain't jumping up on one of them major bulls. Them lions ain't going out there, turn around one of them water buffaloes, say, you want some of me? Well, no. Oh. That matron elephant turns around and says, hey, rah! That lion says, I got the picture. I understand. But notice, get off by yourself. Because nobody loves me. And I quit going to church because that church don't have no love. All of a sudden, you done left the crowd. And the devil's seeking says, ha ha. They're looking more at themselves than looking what's around them. Ambush. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See, liberty written on you is Christianity in its most persuasive form. One life touched by Jesus has far more convincing power than any book written about Christianity. Now, let me tell you what I love about my liberty. Hang on when I say this, and some of these people going, when I put this on my television program, I'm going to get a letter. But I don't care. Liberty gets rid of the dominion of sin. Who do you think you are? It's that spirit. The Bible said if I crucify daily instead of Sunday, I'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, liberty gets rid of the dominion of sin. Now, I'm going to say something on television. Come here. People in the television truck going, ooh, I guess he wants us to come close to him. I don't sin every day. Ooh, I know I got some theologians going. I let you do it for me. Oh, now they mad. I've been free. The law of the spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Put that in your homiletical pipe and smoke it. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, in the anointed and in his anointing, has set me free. Free from the law of sin and death. That's persuasive. Now, I have sinned, and the Bible said we've all sinned, but it doesn't say we're all sinners. Church says, you old sinner. How many of y'all got saved every Sunday morning? Hold your hand up. Come on, tell the truth. Stick your hand up. Every Sunday morning. Oh, Jesus, God, forgive me. Oh, I'm nothing but a dirty dog sinner. Oh, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. Come Sunday night. What's happening, mama? Get down with your bad self. Woo! Ah, Lord, come next Sunday. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Won't you help me? Won't you help me? Y'all laughing because y'all did that. But the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free. Now, I decided to accept that freedom from that dominion of sin. And I've had people say, I mean, I've been on planes. I had a doctor one time. Some of you may have heard me say this before. I start talking to this doctor about Jesus. I figured, well, why not? I said, hi. Hello. They said, what do you do for a living? I said, giving. They go, huh? Giving. I don't have cirrhosis of the giver. I started talking to the doctor about Jesus. Kathy looked over there, and she was sitting with her sister and my brother-in-law. She went, oh, Lord. Oh, God. Look at Jesse. I went. Kathy goes, my brother-in-law looked and went, he ain't going to do what I think he's going to do. I just talked. I said, what do you do for a living? I'm a physician. Oh, I said, you have the same job as Jesus. Then went. I said, he was a healer. Are you a healer? That's what it's. I said, do you heal people? I said, yes or no? Pretty simple answer. Well, I like to think I do. I said, you have to think about it? I said, oh, I forgot. You're practicing. A lot of you preachers out there practicing. The Jesus I know does. He's not a physician practicing. He knows what he's doing. So I start talking to this doctor, man. I mean, we in the Word. I said, whoa, glory to God. I'm enjoying myself, man. Then three over there on the side of me going, oh, Lord. Finally, that doctor says, I'd like to know. We was talking about the wonderfulness. I was talking about the wonderfulness of Jesus. And the doctor said, but boy, I'd like to know what Jesus looked like. That's it. That's it. I unbuckle that seatbelt. When I unbuckle, I stood up, and my brother-in-law, whoa. I know it. Jesse, we on Delta. Jesse, we on Delta. This is Delta Airlines. This is Delta. My wife over there. It's not his fault. It's that spirit. I said, doctor, he looks just like me. Yeah. And I'm doing, I am as serious as I can be. That doctor says, well, he's a bit short. But that doctor said, I will never forget you, and I will never forget how you talked about Jesus. You know him, don't you? I said, oh, yes. That's persuasive. Now, that if you don't have liberty in your life, you walk up there and say, I've been a Methodist for 38 years. My grandma's buried in the back of the church. We've been Baptist, blessed God. This is Baptist ground for the last 300 years.
Well, bless God, we're Catholics. It's our ground, but we don't own it. We don't know who owns it. They've been speaking in tongues in here for centuries. In nomine Patria, Spiritus Sanctus. That meant, okay, get up now. See, you don't have liberty. Well, are you saved? From what? That's not liberty. But the liberty I know, now the Lord is that spirit, is legible, convincing, persuasive. Number four, liberty written on you is Christianity in its most enduring form. Not only is it persuasive, it's enduring. Now, what does that mean? Put truth on paper and it becomes words. Put it on a person, it becomes reality. I'd rather hear a prayer than read a prayer. Because faith cometh by hearing, not by reading. So put words on paper, or put truth, even truth on paper, it becomes words, fossilized. Put it on a person, it becomes reality. When they see you, they see Jesus. Bible said in Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. I said this yesterday, I got to say it again. You are not God's adults. That's why you act the way you do. You are God's children. And sometimes God plays with his kids. Now, some people don't think God would ever do that, but he's a father. He's the first father. Actually, we learn that from him. We learn to tickle our kids because he tickles his kids. We learn everything by association, tell you the truth. So sometimes he wants to bless his kids. Sometimes God is kind of in a mood like, ha, 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 ha. Or God wouldn't be like, oh yeah, God wouldn't be like that. Look at the wonderful things he created. And some of the things he just played with. One thing I know about God, he loves to play in dirt. I know that. I know that for a fact. He plays in dirt. He loves it. He was just playing in dirt when he made Adam. The creation of man was a spirit. He formed him out of the dust of the ground. Jesus did the same thing. He does his father. He was just writing in it. People said, what did he write in the sand? Nothing. He's doodling. Don't you like to play in dirt? Most people will head for a mud puddle, especially when they're kids. And if you're a man with a four-wheeler, you're going to go into every rut and hole you can get your hand on. Come back with that thing filthy. Tell somebody to wash it. Liberty written on you is Christianity in the most endured form. See, inspiration. Now, this is the thing that aggravates people about me and my ministry. Inspiration destroys the tyranny of carnal intellect. They can't figure out why I'm so happy. It destroys the tyranny of carnal intellect. See, now the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So it's that spirit. Now, when they see me full of inspiration, they're waiting for me to come down. Some have died waiting. Serious. And that's not funny, but that's true. One day you're going to get yours. And I went to theirs instead of mine. That inspiration that was given to me because I was set free from such heavy sin destroyed that tyranny of carnal intellect. They can't understand that. I preach in Bible schools and colleges, see? And these people are educated. And all of a sudden, I will attack something that's very controversial. I don't want to do that. God just does it. But what makes it go over is that inspiration. They said, this is what they say about it. This guy believes this. Oh, great intelligent one. Yes. That's what it's all about. Believing. So this liberty that is enduring destroys the tyranny of carnal intellect. Glory to God. I preached for a man one time. I went to his church. I have never seen so many degrees in my life. I'm talking degrees. To tell you the truth, it was a little intimidating. This man had a PhD. He's a doctor. He had masters. He had degrees in all kinds of other subjects as well as being a doctor, a PhD. I mean, this guy had, I have never in my life seen an educated man
that educated. I mean, his walls were covered with not honorary degrees, earned degrees. I mean, I thought, my God, and he's just a precious man. So when I came in, I looked at all this and I thought, my God, Jesse, now don't say ain't and don't say that.
And talk like this. We've come to pray to the Lord God.
You know, put on your robes, your collegiateness. So I walk in and I didn't have a chance to talk to him. He sent his associate and he says, service is starting and I'm just amazed at all these degrees and I'm reading from this, from Stanford and from this and from that. I think, my man, this man's something. So I preach and the power of God moves. The Holy Ghost ministers and touches. Liberty. He was a very, I said, he said, this is our worship leader. I said, you could have fooled me. All the ushers look about the same age, old. Oh, I mean, big church. Remember that church, Kathy? You were there. You saw that. My wife was going, Jesse, don't act crazy in here. No, she said, let her rip. So I got up there and I went, glory! And my Lord, I thought 90 of them had a heart attack. They went, the power of God came down, Dennis, and hit the place. I mean, people got knocked out in the Holy Ghost. There was an old Pentecostal woman been there. She said, I've been in this church for 45 years. And the last time I saw somebody go out in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues was 45 years ago. We had revival. Sunday night, they were turning people away. I'll never forget that little old grandma. Get out of the way. I ain't seen this in 45 years. I'm coming to get them. That's how she walked like that. Got on the front seat. She said, let them have it, young man. Let them have it. She's a sweetheart. Bless her. Had revival in a day. So when we went back to his office, here comes this intelligent, wonderful man. He comes in. He grabs me by the hands. He says, teach me this. I said, huh? Oh, I wish I could be like you. I felt like saying, give me 5 of those degrees and we'll talk about it. But I didn't. I want to go, here, Kathy, change the name on these, will you? Because that really impressed me. I said, sir, look at all this. He said, this is nothing. This is nothing. This is learned by men. Teach me to flow in God. That's what he said. You know what he was asking for? Liberty. Now the Lord is that spirit. It's that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That's enduring. And finally, number 5. Liberty written on you is Christianity, or the anointed and his anointing, in its most divinest form. You know why? It gives you freedom from the fear of death. Go to a Christian's funeral. My God, they ain't if people about ready to go home and be with the Lord. They ain't scared. Hey. Yeah! Hallelujah! And people, they ain't going to heaven going, oh God. Oh God. Freedom from the fear of death. I love what Dr. Billy Graham said on Larry King Live a few months back. Larry King looked at him and said, Dr. Graham, I heard you look forward. You look forward great wonderfulness to death. And Dr. Graham said, oh, yes, yes. And I saw Larry go, whoa. You know how he kind of leans over and got them shoulder blades stuck up like that? He said, you're not afraid to die? He said, no, I'm not afraid to die. He said, I get to walk with Jesus. My whole life has been to preach this gospel so I can be in heaven with Jesus. Dr. Graham said that on Larry King Live. And then he stopped for me. He said, but the only thing I'm not looking forward to, Larry, is the process of dying. I look forward to death with great, great, you know, wonderfulness. It's that process of dying. It's jerking that old body off. Okay, get off. But I'm believing God that Jesus will come in his lifetime and we can all go together. Divinest form. Now, I have to say this. I have to flip the side of the coin. Just because you have liberty, it should not be a license for the flesh. Beware lest your liberty snare you. Let not your liberty be an occasion to the flesh. Or just because you have the freedom to do some things, think of others. It could hurt them. There's some things I could do that the Lord would not tell me that I could perfectly do. Now, one thing I do, I look through the Bible for scriptures to crucify my flesh. I don't look through the Bible for scriptures for things that I can go do that's fleshy. So I don't use my liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Or just because, bless God, I'm saved and I'm knowing it, just because grace is in my life doesn't mean I go sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You see, when you understand the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, then liberty produces godly principles. Principles. Godly principles. You're free. That's why Paul could say that with a chain. I'm bound with this chain, but the word of God's not bound. The man was as free in jail as he was on the road to Macedonia. He was free. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I enjoy being free. It's wonderful to be free. Because I lived for the devil for quite a few years. I lived for the devil a whole lifetime in 25 years. Actually, 24 and a half years. I did enough of them 24 and a half years to last for eternity. I was in great bondage. In other words, I could not do anything I wanted to do. I was motivated by an outlaw spirit called Satan. And he used the talent that God gave me for his purpose. And I couldn't do a thing about it. And I went to the church and they couldn't help me because they was afraid of the devil more than I was. Think about that for a minute. So I left the church. I told my mom and dad, you can have this God stuff, but I'm out of here. Now notice the devil had successfully twisted over my mind to thinking that it was God doing that instead of Satan. Now he was my God because I lived in his world. But you see, the church didn't have enough God sense to correct it. They said, you know, God killed that guy. Yet the Bible said Jesus came to give life and that more abundantly. What kills people is sin. Wages of sin is death. When sin hath conceived a birth, or when lust hath conceived a birth, it bringeth forth sin. That's one stage. Then when sin hath conceived a birth, it bringeth forth death. That's the second stage. When you're in that second stage, it's over with. And you got to understand something about God. He gets no joy in the soul that dies. Think about that for a minute. But you know, I thought he did. The insurance companies think he does. They call it acts of God. It's not acts of God. But I can understand why they said that, because they heard that from the theological platforms of religion for centuries. Think about that. So the devil had successfully twisted my mind to think that all my problems was because of God. Until one day, Billy Graham said that I could accept Jesus Christ. And I thought, what do I want him for? I could never come up to what he thought I should be. So why even try? But he didn't say any of that. He just simply said, if you'll write me, I'll send you the same literature as I've given these that are coming forward in this great crusade. Go to church next Sunday. And I said, where? He didn't even tell me which one to go to. Now I thought that was something. He trusted God enough to allow me or allow the Holy Spirit to work in me. So I prayed that wonderful prayer called soundness in a bathroom in Boston, Massachusetts, and walked out. I looked exactly the same when I walked out as I did within, on the outside. But inside, I was a new man. To the point that even my daughter recognized him. You got to understand, I went in there with long, dark, chocolate brown hair, Levi's, and sparkles, and embroidery. I came out with that guitar. I came out to go play that music and get on them pianos and all that kind of stuff. And that little two-year-old girl of mine said, boy, Daddy, you're not going to hell no more. She saw it in my eyes. Something had changed. What was it? Liberty. I was free. I felt like, it's a parallel, but it makes sense. I felt like Ebenezer Scrooge after he got delivered. I felt like, you know the little Dickens carol? I was free. And then I went to church
And I met Ebenezer Scrooge's partner. And here they come with them chains and ball. I went, oh, is your name Jacob Marley?
They said, if you are saved now, put these chains on. They've been forged by other people before you. Carry them to your death.
Oh, man, but I'm free. I'm free.
Calm down. These will help you.
Put those chains on me, and I drug them. But there was somebody behind me kicking them off. And it was Jesus going, things off that door. I said, wait a minute. I pull that off. I said, this is not the God that I met in that bathroom. And you know who pulled it off? Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. I turned on the television, and I heard a man say, Jesus is Lord. I thought, Lord? Jesus is Lord. Lord? Well, he's Lord over these chains. And the Bible says. I said, what does it say? And he was preaching on the covenant. You got a covenant with God. You come boldly to the throne of grace. You understand me? I don't know why you're wallowing around that sickness and poverty trash when Jesus set you free. So bless God, get up, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, bless God, walk in Jesus' name. You understand? Because Jesus is Lord. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Brother Kenneth just walked off.
I said, this guy is serious. Then he stopped and turned and come back. He said, another thing. My God, use your faith. I said, faith? I heard about that. Use it. It'll set you free. When I heard him, blank, blank, them chains is being pulled off of me. And he walked off, and then come Gloria Copeland. And she says, I tell you what the word says. You got one more chain over here. Kick that off. All of a sudden, I remember this. Whew. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I go preach in those churches of bondage, I go in there fast because they're throwing them chains, but I'm in and out, boy. Wow! Say, where do you preach them sermon? People, I preach the milk. I preach a Milky Way sermon. I preach the milk and away I go. Throw a donut back there and say, dunk it. Bless God, let's go. And they took the chains off me. Now the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm free. Are you free? Yeah. Stand to your feet and give Jesus a freedom yell. Glory! Some of you still got some chains on it. But I guarantee you by the end of this convention, when you leave here Saturday, you'll be backstroking it. Bless God, let's go. Woo! Free. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Yes. Just
And when you get back, you'll see people going, I tell you what, I don't know if I can carry this load anymore. Just walk up behind him and go, kick it off. Grab him by the hand. They won't know how to walk it. They're kind of stiff. They'll walk like this. Oh, no, no, no. Come on, walk. Come on. One time my grandpa wasn't walking fast enough. Made me mad. I was 14 years old. I grabbed him. I said, come on, grandpa. And he went, no, no, no. And I drug him in the grass. Come on, grandpa. He said, if I was young, I'd kill you, boy. I said, don't talk too loud, grandpa. You're liable to die on us right here. My old grandfather or something. He never understood this freedom. He saw it happen in my father's life, but he wouldn't accept it. After a while, he bronzed his chains. See, some people bronze their chains. You know, grandma died of this. Look, we bronzed it, put it on a plaque. Say, don't ever bronze your chains. Get rid of them chains. Jesus set you free. Yes, he did. Listen to what's being spoken in this meeting. It will set you free. It set me free. My God, listen to me. In every facet of your life, God will cover it. Every facet of people's lives by the end of this convention. You will have a key to unlock that lock. Listen, don't miss a service. I don't care if you're tired. Don't make a lick at it. Well, I fell asleep. It'll get in your subconscious. It'll get into your spirit. You'll wake up and go, amen. Yeah. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. I mean, I walked off the platform and Sister Lynn grabbed my hand. She went, you know, when Sister Lynn come at you like this, you think, oh, Jesus. She been praying an hour. Oh, my God. She grabbed my hands. More began to prophesy to me. It was the power of God flowing. Confirmation in my spirit on some things. I thought, praise God. Glory to God. That's freedom flowing. And then that message was freedom for cities. Say, don't bronze the chain. You can bronze your baby's shoes. But don't bronze the chains from the devil. Don't set them up and say, bless God, mama, grandma died of cancer. Mama died of cancer. You know, cancer follows our family. You done bronze that chain. Cancer killed all our dogs last week. We got cancer on our car. It's called rust. Cancer just followed. Go down to the body shop. You got cancer? Get made over. Go down to the body shop. It's called the body of the anointed and his anointing. You may go in there looking bad, but you'll come out and say, who is this masked man? Faster than a speeding bullet. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. More powerful than a locomotive. Listen, you ain't Robin. You Batman. That's peril in it to help you. And some people went, I just got that. Good. Liberty written on you, Christianity in its most enduring form. Five things. Go over it daily in your lives. You hear them chains dangling behind you. Go, oh, no, no, no. And sometimes the devil go, ding dong, devil here. Open up the door and it don't look like the devil. Might be a deacon. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Might be the Sunday school superintendent. Saying, look what we got for you. And say, oh, no thank you. It fits you better. Or take it from him, throw it in the yard and set him free. Or set her free. Set him free. Discard the chains. Remember Paul. Listen, I fought a good fight. I finished this course and I kept the faith. Woo, he kept the faith. You notice he didn't list all his deeds that he did. He just simply kept the faith. You enjoyed it this morning? Give Jesus a hand clap. Hallelujah.